Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 14th of August, Anno Domini 2010, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And we're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use, things to choose, nothing to lose. Here we go. Our story this week, our poll of the week, comes from this story. Security experts warned on Tuesday about what is believed to be the first Trojan targeting Android-based mobile devices that racks up charges by sending text messages to premium rate numbers. The Trojan SMS malware, dubbed Trojan SMS AndroidOS.FakePlayer.A, is being distributed via an unknown malicious website, according to Denis Meslenikov, senior malware researcher at Kaspersky Labs. Users are prompted to install a media player application that is a little bigger than 13K, but which is hiding the Trojan inside, according to Kaspersky and mobile phone security company Lookout, which analyzed the threat. Like all Android apps, the program asks for permission to do certain things upon installation. In this case, it asks for permission to send SMS messages with a prompt that identifies it as a service that costs you money, as well as to read or delete data and collect data about the phone and the phone ID, both Kaspersky and Lookout said. Once installed, the Trojan starts sending SMS messages behind the scenes that cost several dollars per message without the device owner knowing it. It appears to be affecting Android smartphone users in Russia and to only work on Russian networks so far, Lookout said. As far as we know, there is no indication that this app is in the Android market. It is also reported on a Russian smartphone news site. A Google spokes individual said our application permissions model protects against this type of threat when installing an application. Users see a screen that explains clearly what information and system resources the application has permission to access, such as a user's phone number or sending an SMS. Users must explicitly approve this access in order to continue with the installation, and they may uninstall applications at any time. We consistently advise users to only install apps they trust. In particular, users should exercise caution when installing applications outside of the Android market. Android users must change a default setting to accept apps from outside the Android market. To tell if you're affected, review your bills for any premium SMS messages. Lookout also suggested if you've recently downloaded a media player, check the permissions to make sure the app is not sending SMS messages. And my personal recommendation is that if you use an Android phone, you should install Lookout. In fact, you could now go to the Security Tango website at securitytango.com, click on the Let's Dance button, and you'll see a new dance, the Android Allemande. And it will lead you through installing Lookout, including if you've already got Google's barcode scanner installed, you can just scan the QR code and install it that way. You should definitely do it. You can also go to mylookout.com. That's mylookout.com. We'll have Steve put that up in just a moment. And that brings us to our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And the poll is the Android phone Trojan. And your choices are about time you Android jerks got what you deserve. The second choice is so it's a virus. So what? Freedom entails responsibility. And the third choice is enough with this phone stuff. How's CompuServe doing? And so far, we have 42 votes. And clearly, most of you are so old, I'm surprised you can read the screen. Enough with this phone stuff. How's CompuServe doing? And for those of you who want to know, CompuServe is actually doing fairly well. Thank you. It still exists. It's still around.
And, real big in Europe still, I think.
Yeah, it is. And it's still there. So, all right. Give us a call and let us know what you think. Our number, of course, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll free 1-800-790-0415. Just like our first caller.
Wait a minute. You messed up.
Why? Oh, you're right. I did. Because
when you're done. You're throwing me off.
I beg your pardon. When you're done with the poll.
Thank you.
You should look at the little yellow box underneath. Click on Give Us Your Opinion. It will take you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Happy now?
Yes.
And you can...
I got it all set. We got it. You know, we have a rhythm here, you know?
We
do. That, and I'm all got it all queued up so I can sit there and hit it. So it just kind of flows better.
We do. And
you don't want to mess with the flow.
No, I do not want to mess with the flow, and I apologize about having messed with the flow. But now can we go to the phones?
Yeah, if you want to.
Thank you very much. If it's all right with you, our first caller is Dick. Where are you calling from, Dick?
I'm calling from Greece.
And what's going on?
Well, for some reason, I picked Friday the 13th to try to upgrade from IE6 to IE8 on a Dell Inspiron machine.
Friday the 13th is Port Dover.
It's what?
Port Dover.
Port Dover?
Yeah, that's where literally every Friday the 13th, this is a motorcycle thing, every Friday the 13th, this little town in Canada called Port Dover, it could be the middle of winter, they take it over, all these motorcyclists. Take it over every Friday the 13th.
Okay, and
just a little trivia.
Triskaidekaphobic bikers.
Okay, well, that's interesting, but it really doesn't help me.
Yeah, right. So you upgraded and there was a problem. I'm guessing.
Yeah, you have a marvelous grasp of the obvious.
Thank you so much. We can hang up, you know. We have that power.
I understand. I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep my sense of humor here because I'm crying right now.
So what happened?
Well, all I get is my wallpaper, no start button, no icons, and the screensaver comes in, so I still have my pictures, and I can get to the command prompt via safe mode, but safe mode only gives me a blank screen with four safe modes, in each one in each corner. I can get to add and remove programs via something I grabbed off the web that seems to say I may have malware,
mm-hmm.
but...
Yep.
I can't do much else.
Yeah, what happens there is that's a case where you got to literally take it in or put it on another machine. Basically, in our shop, what we do is we take the hard drive out of your machine and put it into one of our test bench where we can isolate it. So when it's booting up, it's not booting up off of your C drive because that's what's driving all the malware and spyware in the startup is to take over. So by taking it out of your machine, putting it on our test bench, we can run a few programs to initially remove the stuff that's kind of choking it, then we put it back in and do the rest of the removal.
I understand. Okay, I've used Norton 360, okay, and from time to time it says it has blocked an intrusion attempt, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, I haven't had any trouble. Why all of a sudden when I upgrade to IE8, it goes fluky? Any idea along those lines?
No.
Well, the only possibility I can see at that particular point is that there was something in your system that had been blocked, but when you installed IE8, one of the things, of course, that it does is rewrite a bunch of the DLLs, and something managed to sneak in while that was happening.
Yeah, okay. All right. All right, so what are your hours?
Monday through Friday, 9 to 5.
Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and your address is?
It's Enright and Deary PC at 70 Empire Boulevard.
70 Empire. 9 to 5, Monday through Friday.
Yep.
All right, gentlemen, I'll be there at 9 o'clock on Monday.
All right, see you then.
Thanks.
Have a good
much.
One.
Bye.
It's tough when that happens, you know?
It may have been something hiding in there, and
we've been seeing
IA
a lot of it. I mean,
it.
I'm getting a lot of systems that they were just in just a couple of weeks ago. Oh, and I had one caller. Well, I had my machine in there a couple months ago, and I think it might be reinfected. Is this covered? I go, huh? I says, have you been doing the scans and all that? Well, kinda. Well, kinda doesn't get it. You know, it's like kinda half taking your medicine to get better. If you don't, you don't get. You know, you still stay sick. So I said, nope. You get to bring it back in, and we get to play with it one more time. Thank you. Come on down.
Yeah,
but you know it's happening, and the folks. Well, I'll hear it. I don't have the time to do it. What do you want me to do? Come over and babysit? You know, let me know what you're having for dinner, and if it's going to take that long, do you got the spare room ready?
Yeah, exactly.
It's about the only thing I can do.
Yeah, because people used to say the same thing to me. Can you come over and do this at my house? Yes. Yes. You know what my rate per hour is. This will take approximately 9 hours.
Yep.
Or you can bring it to somebody like Dave or Steve, and they'll put it on the bench, and I suspect they'll charge you less.
And walk away and work on something else while it's sitting there scanning.
Yeah, exactly. That's where why we can charge a little, you know, we can charge less than being out on the road, because literally when I'm out on the road, I have to charge, you know, I charge in 1 hour increments.
Of course you do. You have to. And but if they bring it to you and you put it on the bench and walk away, of course you're not going to charge them for that time.
No, we don't. And, you know, it's only fair. I mean, because I can have up to 7 computers going at one time.
There's also an interesting time dilation that happens. We had a customer brought an infected PC into us. She got hit by one of the fake antivirus programs. Mm-hmm. Antivir Solution Pro is fake. Antivir is real. So really, really confuses the users. And she called and said, is it going to be there another week? It's only been here 3 days, and that includes the weekend. So, no, it won't be here another week. It hasn't been here a week yet.
Oh, yeah, and I like that, too. They'll sit there and say, well, you've had it for 5 days. They brought it in late Wednesday. You know, so they count that day, Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday. I go, wait a minute. No, it hasn't. And I don't work the weekends. Do you? Well, you're a computer business. Yeah. And I also do a radio show on Saturdays. And Sundays, you know what? I take it off for me. It's my one day off.
It really pains us to be open on Saturday. And someone has to work. So Jackie works the mornings. I work the afternoons.
Right.
And someone has to be there to be open. And we've decided to close on Sunday. And we hear people all the time, well, I tried to come in on Sunday, but you're closed. So I went to another store, which we never like hearing, but.
You're right.
Yeah. You know, but you got to have a life. I mean, I'm sorry. You know, that's why. Like after 5 o'clock, you know, I just the phone rings. It goes to the answering machine.
There's a difference.
I got to have a life.
There's a difference between providing service and being a slave. And you guys provide a service. There's the difference. And people do need to understand that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
To get back to our first story of the week, though, those people we got in the opinion page at AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Well done. Somebody said, the question, of course, is how do you feel about possible malware on your phone? And second choice was, not good since I just joined you Android people yesterday. Well done. Well done. But the reality is that every type of device is going to have a virus possibility on it. Macs. PCs, Linux, your phones.
And that's the other thing that folks, you know, they're, well, I just had it cleaned up and it's reinfected again. What folks have to realize is this is a whole game of, you remember as a kid, Leapfrog. And we put up all these companies trying to update their stuff and, you know, keep it updated, but then they find a way around it.
Yeah, the bad guys are winning.
Yeah, they constantly.
Well, they're ahead of the race.
Here's my point, though. I have an Android phone, and I installed this Lookout program at mylookout.com, which it does a couple of different things. It's really kind of neat. You can get it to make your phone scream. It's a kind of an alarm sound. It's very loud and very annoying, and no, I'm not going to do it here. You can also find it online. Log in, and you can find your phone online, and it'll tell you. You know, it uses the GPS in it to find your phone. Plus, of course, it does backups of all your data and everything else. Plus, of course, it's an antivirus product. And I was very pleased to see that the day I read about this virus, I looked at my phone and it had already updated the night before to block that virus, even though, you know, I'm not in Russia at the moment, although it'll work its way here. Lookout is a free application, and as with so many other of the applications in the Security Tango, it is free. So you can just go there and install it, and it's great. And then go to mylookout.com, sign up, which is also free, and then you can do all that other stuff, find your phone and back it up and yada, yada, yada. So it's pretty cool.
Talking about different apps, I found one cool one for my iTouch. It's, you know, all those things that you can get for like Rite Aid, CD, those little key fobs that you
get
sit there and scan. There's an app for that, and you can type them all in. So all you got to do is open up the iTouch, pull up that particular one, and they can scan it.
Mm-hmm.
No more carrying around all those stupid little keychain things.
Right. I've actually got one of those for the Android as well, and And what that means is now, you know, instead of A, having to carry them around, or B, I'm never with them. You're right, it works. And now I can get the ones that, you know, only my wife has the card. And I can still use it. So,
yeah. We should mention it. My Lookout works on Android, BlackBerry, and Windows Mobile. So
right.
It's not limited to just Android.
Right. And they're constantly arguing that they can't get on the iPhone because the iPhone, of course, is a completely closed system. And so Apple won't give them enough information to be able to do an antivirus. So there, so far at least, is no antivirus for the iPhone. I got nothing to say to you about that. But yeah, so we're seeing that stuff. And you know, we've talked about this in the past. More and more people are leaving their computers at home and just bringing their phones places because there's so much you can do with your phone. That is, you know, the same stuff you would do with your computer. And we're seeing, you know, phones are getting bigger and faster. And then the pad thing right now, it's the iPad and a couple of really lousy Android pads. But the really good ones are coming. Samsung's coming out with one that looks phenomenal. Lenovo's got one. HP's. Yeah, there's like 30, 40 companies that are say they're bringing them out at the end of the year. And I think we're going to see a gradual shift away from large computers. We've already seen it with netbooks. A lot of people have netbooks or smaller Macs, right? I mean, that's the 13-inch?
This is the 13-inch. This is the big one, yeah.
Right.
Well, it's the small laptop, but it's still a pretty big thing to carry around.
Right, and if you're not... The difference between the pad and phone devices versus the netbook laptop devices is we have what are you doing?
It's time for a break. Then the music's not playing.
I don't have any idea what waving your arms and screaming and yelling is for. This means break. I don't know what this means, okay? Just so you know, apparently we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Don't give me a hard time.
We'll be back.
I control the button.
With Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you, it is 19 minutes after the hour. We may be back with more sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Here's a tip to the wise for all you tech-savvy scenesters. One click will take you directly from the Jazz 90.1 website straight to the station's very popular Facebook and MySpace pages. Once there, you'll be privy to special announcements, exclusive contests, Jazz Insider info, everything to keep you hip to all the hip happenings at Jazz 90.1. So click on over to jazz901.org and help take Jazz even further.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Frontier Communications. Frontier Communications offers high-speed internet with the reliability and support you've come to expect from Frontier. For more information, you can visit www.frontiernet.net.
Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members and Agape Physical Therapy, with locations in Brockport, Chi-Lai, Gates, and Webster. Agape Physical Therapy offers customized exercise programs for those who suffer with arthritis, back, knee, and neck pain. Each of Agape Physical Therapy's four locations stresses a group approach to treatment and is staffed with a doctor of physical therapy or a McKenzie specialist to ensure the most effective therapy. For more information about Agape Physical Therapy, you may call 637-0790 or visit agapephysicaltherapy.com.
Malnutrition claims the lives of an estimated 3.5 million children every year. But this condition is both preventable and treatable. Starve for Attention is the latest global malnutrition campaign launched by Doctors Without Borders, Médecins Sans Frontières, or MSF. Starve for Attention aims to raise awareness through a series of online documentaries. To see what the faces of malnutrition look like and to learn how you can help, visit starvedforattention.org. A public service from Doctors Without Borders, Médecins Sans Frontières.
Tickets for the fourth annual Jazz 90.1 Evening of Wine and Jazz presented by Greece Community Broadcasting Incorporated, go on sale August 16th. For more information, visit our website at www.jazz901.org.
Hi, this is Charles Benoit. Join me and the entire Smart Set tonight from 5 to 6 right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And also, we'd like to remind you folks that on September the 3rd, member-supported Jazz 90.1 will be announcing their lineup for the live concerts. As you know, Jazz 90.1 does things a little different. We actually bring you live concerts. So you can either go to the web or stay tuned on September 3rd and catch the current lineup of all the concerts that are coming up by local artists.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Before we go any farther, Edward has been holding patiently. Apparently has not been holding patiently on the line. I apologize to Edward. We do have to do our little thingy, and so there you
can't
there
do
you
anything about that.
Give us a call back, Edward. We can get you on.
Call back. And the number, of course, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. Speaking of hacking into phones and not having any sort of protection, Apple claims that it has ready to patch to address the iOS, the Apple iOS, not the Cisco iOS, security flaw exploited by the Jailbreak Me website. Last week, the iPhone development team had announced the launch of jailbreakme.com, a website which, when accessed from the iPhone, iPod Touch, or iPad, allowed users to run non-approved applications on the devices.
And it's blocked by the proxy server here.
And, well, it should be. Needless to say, jailbreakme.com created a buzz among users of Apple Inc.'s devices.
How did they know about it? Wow.
Exactly. At the same time, the website, it's probably a service they subscribe
yeah.
to. At the same time, the website opened a grave security hole. Now, the Cupertino, California company has addressed the security issue. Apple spokesman Natalie Karras claims that the patch for such a security hole is ready. Apple does not... I got bitten by about 100 things yesterday. Apple does not allow this, making it challenging for antivirus vendors to create third-party protection for iPhones. Said Soren Mustaka. I can say Soren Mustaka, and I can't say iPhone. Development manager for antivirus for Mavira. However, the spokesman did not reveal when the patch would be available publicly. Users will, in all probability, have to manually install the patch via iTunes. Apple has the onerous task of coordinating the patching activity with close to 15 phone companies worldwide. Jailbreaking refers, cheese and crackers, to hacking iOS, not the Cisco version, to download web apps not approved by Apple. Jailbreakme.com made it easy to jailbreak iPhone or iPad. But all those of you who own iPhones and iPads and are going to jailbreakme.com, are you actually listening to this report? Because it's telling you that it's a bad site and will give you bad things. So don't go there, duh. Security experts say the trend that dominates the PC world will replicate in smartphones as well. Hackers regularly find security flaws in PCs and then use those flaws to launch malicious attacks. Meanwhile, the good guys of the industry are left to find patches and thwart such attacks. The real problem here, of course, is that Apple hides the technical details of iOS, not the Cisco version, allowing access only to approved web apps. Other players like Windows, Google, Nokia, and RIM divulge the coding in their devices to enable antivirus firms to develop protections, which means that Apple users are reliant solely on Apple to hire enough good programmers to keep track of all of these viruses and stuff, whereas other companies, essentially Windows and Google and Nokia and RIM, have outsourced that to other people. Apple has to do it all in-house, and if they're a little behind, well, they've got a problem. And it used to be, again, that it was real easy. You just had one operating system. Now you've got an operating system that's tailored to fit, and because it ran on one set of devices which were identical. But now it runs on 15 different phone manufacturers' devices, and each of them is just a little bit different. So now they have to hire enough people to do all of that. So our question to you, feeling a tad less smug, you Apple fanboys? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll-free, 1-800-790-0415.
Apple did release a patch this week, version 4.0.2 for version 4 users and 3.2.2 for version 3 users. addresses the PDF malicious arbitrary code hole and a couple of other holes. But one thing that was big last week is the Black Hat and DEF CON conferences, where lots more holes were announced and demonstrated and showed off. And I'm still trying to find the one the guy said he can make an ATM spew out all its cash. Just by like waving his arm in front of it or something, but
right.
Apparently, he demonstrated it.
Well, I don't necessarily.
And it's been it's one of the things that the more responsible Black Hat guys will do is they'll tell the companies about the problem and give them time to fix it. And this guy said he gave the ATM manufacturers a year, and they still haven't fixed it.
So now it's out in the open.
Yeah.
Interestingly, I was looking at a chart that talked about mobile content usage. And 63, this is as of January is the last time they really did this. 63.5% of everybody who owns a phone texts. 28.6% use a browser. 21.7% play games. Only 19.8% use downloaded apps. 17.1% access social networking sites or blogs. And only 12.8% actually listen to music on their mobile phone. Now, that's as of January. I'm sure that's changed since then. We're going to go back to the phones, and we're going to talk to John. Where are you calling from, John? John? John, are you there?
Do we have the buttons pressed?
Yeah, everything's pressed.
He didn't expect to be on the air so soon.
John?
Well,
it's potted up.
We'll hang on a minute and see if he comes back.
All right, one succeed and two fails on the phone.
Yeah, I mean,
John, call back. Something clearly did not go according to plan. I apologize. We did get Dick through, so I don't know what that means. Edward hung up. John, we can't find. I'm not sure where that.
All the buttons are set. I did the transfer, and
do we need a fail whale?
Apparently, we do. We need our own fail something, whatever it might be. I've been setting up a new website and playing with graphics for it, and I have once again realized how insanely bad I am at graphics. It's not my thing, you know. I know my limited man's got to know his limitations, and mine clearly come directly to the fore when it comes to graphics, particularly creating websites and stuff. I can do the back end stuff pretty well, but heaven knows. I can't, for the life of me, really create a sharp and clean-looking web. For those of you who have seen all my websites can tell, they're just not pretty. They're not pretty at all. Well, while we're waiting for either Edward or John to call back, let's take a question from Peg from Pittsford, New York, who writes, Hi, Peg. I called into the show last weekend, and we talked about my 5-year-old Dell and problems with buffering. I thought I would send an update as things got really interesting the past week. My internet speed has progressively gotten worse and worse over the past several months. On Tuesday, I used the Roadrunner speed test to see what my download speed was. It took 10 minutes just to load the page. Repeated tests came in at a high of 0.43 megabits per second and several readings of 0.06. Yes. 0.06. I called Roadrunner. They agreed that there was a problem, you think? They sent out a technician Thursday who decided the problem was the modem and replaced it. Right after that, speed test ran at about 5.85, which is certainly better. Friday morning, I could not get into the net for 2 hours, and when I finally connected, was back to the incredibly low speeds again. I called Roadrunner again. This time, they sent out a technician who knew him stuff. Here's what he discovered. The modem the first tech had put on was used in an old, outdated model. The cable lines coming into the house were not grounded, and most significantly, there was serious feedback on the line. He checked all the cable lines, discovered the problem was coming from the digital cable box. So we replaced that with a new in-the-wrapper, that is to say, not used cable box. Download speeds are now running 19 on the PC closest to the router and 12-plus on the wireless PC. Two floors up, buffering problems have completely disappeared, and I am a happy camper. Also of interest, I talked with Netgear about the router settings just to make sure that was optimally set. The most secure setting, which they recommend, was WPA-PSD TKIP plus WPA2-PSD AES, which I had initially used in my setup according to Netgear. This level of security is designed only for Windows 7 64-bit OS, so obviously if this is accurate, it would not be right for my Windows XP. Would you find that to be accurate from Netgear? No, I would not. WPA2 using either TKIP or AES is exceptional and is usable on everything, including, by the way, my Android phone. So, no.
Annoyingly, it's not available on the Nintendo DS, which only does WEP. So if when my son wants to get his DS on the internet, I have the choice of no security or no security.
Right. Right. Yeah, and that of course is a genuine problem. Older operating systems that have not upgraded their wireless settings often force people to use a lower and much, much less secure setting for.
When did they add AES to XP? Maybe XP Prime didn't have it. Didn't have WPA 2.
No, I don't think it got it till Service Pack 2, frankly.
So if she's running a very old XP. Yeah, if she's running a very old XP, it could be true and she should have upgraded.
Yeah. Well, and we have to keep telling people you need to be on it. If you're still running XP at all, you need to be running Service Pack 3. It's absolutely essential. There are things that are in service that are out there that are not protected against in Service Pack 2 and will never be protected against in Service Pack 2. So you should go up to Service Pack 3. Now, I keep hearing reports on the net about the ability to change one registry setting and suddenly Service Pack 3 will install on a system, or the upgrades that require Service Pack 3 will install on systems that only have Service Pack 2. But we never recommend hacking the registry. It's a very dangerous thing. The registry is a very delicate little piece of file, and I never recommend anybody go
well,
in there.
I've never on the show ever told folks how to go in and do any corrections on that, because all it takes is one slip and you can mess it. You know, you delete the wrong key, you know, because folks will get sit there, all right, yeah, I'm deleting this, and they get not looking to see what they're actually deleting and have messed registries
up. There are some interesting conspiracy theories flying around that support for Windows XP Service Pack 2 ended on July 13th. So Microsoft will now never update XP Service Pack 2 with any security patches. About a week later, or was it 2 weeks later, the shortcut LNK vulnerability was found.
Right.
That's only been in there for 10 years.
Right.
And they're not going to fix it for SP2. They will fix it eventually for SP3. Microsoft's current workaround is to disable shortcuts. Which isn't very nice.
Although Sophos has a
Sophos has a fix that catches it. Basically, viewing the icon of a shortcut will infect you from a flash drive, from a download, from a website. So it's one of the very insidious Trojans that's circulating around. And it came out, a week after Service Pack 2 support ended.
Right. Well, not every conspiracy is a theory, I guess. But, it really is imperative, particularly in the Windows operating system, that you keep as up-to-date as possible. I mean, it's easy enough to upgrade. And with Apple, and certainly with Linux, the upgrades are fairly quick and they're free and I haven't seen one yet that didn't work.
We've had some issues with some older PCs not accepting Service Pack 3, and usually that means you have to go to their website, Dell, HP, whatever, and now you got to dig back through the archives and find the here's how to upgrade your machine to Service Pack 3. This is what you have to download first. Documents.
Right. But that's my point, which is that while I don't see a lot of problems on the Mac or on Linux, I do see the problem with older machines, particularly machines that like Dell and HP that have tailored their version of Windows XP to their operating environment, right, to their hardware, and then therefore you can't upgrade unless you run whatever the pre-upgrade downloads are.
Yeah. One of the big issues we do see in the Mac world is people that haven't upgraded through the major operating system changes where you have to buy the new version.
Right.
And you're running an older computer with, say, system 10.3. You've only got Safari version 1, the very early web browser. We're on version 5 now. And a lot of websites don't work with older browsers.
Right.
And Apple has made it difficult to update browsers on old operating systems. Even Mozilla now, you can still run Firefox 2 on OS 10.3, but you can't find Firefox 2 very easily anymore.
Right.
And if you didn't buy 10.4 when it came out, you can't buy it anymore because 10.6 is the current version. So it's an interesting legal issue, too, that they're orphaned softwares. The manufacturer doesn't make them anymore. The manufacturer doesn't sell them anymore. But you need it for your computer. What can you do? And the short answer is buy a new computer.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's true. Now
it's still legal. It's copyrighted and owned by that company.
Right.
If they don't want to release it, they don't have to.
Now, if you've got an old machine and you're feeling like it's time for a change, whether it's a Windows machine or a Mac, you can certainly load Linux onto it and play with that and get up to the latest and greatest semi-painlessly, really, for Linux. It just comes up and says, well, it's time to upgrade. What do you want to do? Let's upgrade. Okay. Downloads everything, installs it, you're done. And in fact, on my machine, you can set it on any machine to download in the background, just like Apple does. It downloads the upgrades in the background and then just asks you, you ready? And we'll go. And that makes it faster and easier to do. And that's semi-painless, you know? That's semi-painless. And we need, all of us, we need to understand that...
And the danger is that there are fake update messages that pop up. So you
Windows users,
for Windows, fake updates will pop up on the Mac when you're on a website that's infected, and so you have to get to know what the real update screens look like so you can trust them.
Well, and in addition, I'm always telling people change the color of your Windows, and half the time those pop-ups are coming from websites, and they include a fake blue border, right? A blue top. And if you've changed your top to green or yellow or red and blue pops up, you can be pretty sure it's fake. And it's a real quick fix. You just go into right-click on a background, select properties, go into personalize, change your color. Boom, you're done. It takes less than a minute. And you're a little bit safer because if it comes up in that blue, that should be a clue to take a moment and think. Well, we'll let you take a whole minute or so to think because we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites right here on the great member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Charles Benoit, host of The Smart Set, here with a special warning going out to all you Jazz 90.1 members. Stop smiling like that. Yeah, you love being a member of Jazz 90.1, but you're going to pull a muscle or something. I know the membership card is definitely worth smiling about, what with all those cool discounts at area shops. But frankly, all that smiling is making those non-members jealous. So until everyone's a member of Jazz 90.1, just try to control yourself and keep smiling safely.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Frontier Communications. Frontier Communications offers high-speed internet with the reliability and support you've come to expect from Frontier. For more information, you can visit www.frontiernet.net.
Jazz 90.1 apparel is available online. Whether it's a long or short sleeve t-shirt, half zip fleece, hooded sweatshirt, or baseball cap that you're looking for, you'll find it at the Jazz 90.1 online store at jazz901.org.
On Tuesday, Becky was sick. On Wednesday, she was gone.
I was there for my son's first breath and his last.
The infection spread so fast.
David got it when he was 13.
Terry was only 5.
Parents need to know.
There is something they can do.
Preteens and teens are at greater risk.
School nurses nationwide urge you to listen to the voices of meningitis. Get preteens and teens vaccinated against this rare but serious disease. To learn more, go to voicesofmeningitis.org.
Whether you're trying to figure out how to pay off a student loan or how you're going to pay for retirement, the tough economy is affecting all of us. The National Foundation for Credit Counseling wants you to know help is available for whatever kind of debt problem you're facing. The NFCC is a nonprofit organization with certified counselors who can show you how to make educated decisions. You're not alone. Call the NFCC at 800-388-2227 or visit debtadvice.org. This has been a public service from the NFCC.
Hey, this is Rip Savage. Join me tonight for Fusion, 10 p.m. right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And I'd like to also remind you folks, you might want to go to our webpage because starting Monday, the evening of Wine and Jazz is going to start going on sale. It's going to be down at the old place where they used to have the Fast Ferry. It's now Pier 45. And, you know, a lot of great food, great jazz, giveaways, silent auctions. So if you can, go to our webpage and check it out and get your tickets early.
And that's when he says our webpage. At this point, he means jazz901.org.
Yeah.
All right, welcome.
Because most of the time we're telling folks to go to soundbites.org. Right.
But in this case, for those tickets, and it's going to be an amazing evening.
Last year's was fantastic.
It's jazz901.org. That's jazz901.org for the evening of wine and jazz.
And that's a Thursday night, and that's from 6:30 to 9:30.
It's going
to
be great. It's going to be great. And that venue is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've redone it, too. They've turned the area into formal ballroom gathering.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's really nice. All right, we're back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Oracle has filed a lawsuit against Google, charging that its Android phone software infringes on Oracle patents and copyrights related to Java. In developing Android, Google knowingly, directly, and repeatedly infringed Oracle's Java-related intellectual property. This lawsuit seeks appropriate remedies for their infringement, according to Oracle spokesmanikin Karen Tillman. The suit was filed Thursday in the U.S. District Court in San Francisco and seeks a jury trial. Google did not immediately respond to a request for comment from, well, any of the websites I checked. Oracle acquired Microsoft Systems' Java technology when it bought the company early this year. So let me summarize. Sun Microsystems creates a programming language. Oracle buys that programming language and then sues Google for using that programming language to, wait for it, write programs. Although actually what they did, they have they've built their own version, essentially. This starts with a D. I can't remember the name of it. And they say it's a clean room implementation. It's a reverse engineering clean room. They never looked at the real code. They just made it work the same way. But the question to us, from us to you, is how do you think Google should respond? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. Just like Dar did, all the way from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Welcome, Dar. What's your question? Dar? We want to apologize. Apparently there's...
phone issues?
Must be, because, I mean... try it now.
Dar? Dar?
I think it's...
Dar?
The equipment malfunction.
It's set to go on.
I have a hammer. Will that help?
I'm not afraid to use it.
I better have the checkbook ready,
too. If I had a hammer, no.
Yeah, right. Hi, fix it. All right, I'm sorry, Dar. I apologize. We'll keep working at this and see what happens. In the meantime, I guess we'll just keep on talking. What's interesting with the Android operating system is it does have its Davik or I forget what it's called. I forget what the thing is called. But it's a just-in-time Java compiler that they wrote, they say, in a clean room from scratch. So they didn't, you know, steal and take anything. They essentially re-engineered their own version. A just-in-time compiler means that it really takes code and compiles it on the fly real fast and moderates that code to make sure that it works properly in the environment of the moment, right? So we have a case where what Google has done is created an environment that their programs, the programs that people create, will run as fast as possible, which is, of course, what you want, particularly on older, slower hardware. Although, let's face it, Even the original Android runs at 800 megahertz, and a lot of the new phones run at 1 gigahertz or 1.2 or 1.3 or 1.5 gigahertz. And it isn't all that long ago that if you had an 800 megahertz machine, you would go, really? You got 800 megahertz? Wow!
So fast.
Yeah. So now we have it in our phone. So let's not get excited when we say it's only 800 megahertz. Because that's my phone. You can buy an Incredible with a gigahertz processor, the new Droid X with 1.2 gigahertz. They're saying that some of the new Samsung phones will have a 1.3 or 1.5 gigahertz processor. Who knows where the end is? The real problem at that point becomes heat dissipation. That's where the real problem comes in. How do you dissipate all the heat? But we'll see. It's an awfully interesting situation we're finding ourselves in as more and more power comes into our pockets. And I really do. You know, this show has changed over the years from a whole lot of questions about D-Base and the Borland TSR programs and all of those. There's a bunch of you who don't even know what a TSR is, and a bunch of that stuff, and morphed into more about Windows stuff. We brought Steve in to talk more about Mac stuff, and now we're morphing again into adding pad devices and phone devices, because more and more people are using those as their, I won't say primary in the sense that, you know, when you go home and sit down, you still sit at a computer. But in terms of the thing you do most of your communicating on, you know, I've said it before, for 99% of people, a computer is a communications device, right? And that's really all that it is. So when people get on the phone, they do email, they do writing, they do all the Facebooks and Twitters and all of that stuff. And now, except for the writing, which a phone is still kind of a small device, although you can, of course, do writing and even spreadsheets on it. It's a small device for that. But for everything else, all that text messaging and emailing and tweeting and Facebooking, you can do all of that on your phone. So you can, if you want, be in touch. And in fact, there are programs like Foursquare that are designed specifically to keep you in touch with people, and they only work on a phone. So we're seeing what I think is a sea change in the industry in terms of the device that people will be carrying. And even with an iPad, it's really kind of too big to carry around all day long for that stuff. A lot of people they leave it at home on the couch so they can do whatever it is you do on an iPad at home on a couch. But they're still carrying their iPhone or their Android device or their RIM or their whatever around on a day-to-day basis to do a bunch of other stuff.
See, that's where I know you and I differ so much. I mean, I like the phone, my current phone. I love it. I got to admit, I like the touch screen and all that. But I mainly just use it for phone and text. I mean, I've got contacts and all that in there, but when it comes to my email or Facebook or any of that other, no, I have a computer for that. I sit at a computer 8 hours a day, sometimes a hell of a lot longer, doing research and everything else, you know, ordering parts and all the whole nine yards. It's in my face all day. It's the last thing I want to do is now get it on my phone, too.
Well, but see, and I hate to say this because
I'm old. Yeah, I am.
You know, I personally don't see any use for Foursquare, which is the thing where you log in, you say, you know, I'm at the bakery or I'm at the whatever.
You don't want to be mayor of the bar?
No, oddly enough, I do not. And the reason I don't find a use for it is I'm old. I'm at work or I'm at home or I'm here, you know? But I, you know, guys
then
like
go
my,
away, don't bother me.
Like my students, right, or my friend Matt, they're out every night to a different place. They're going places. They're doing things. Of course, they're gonna, you know, get in there and show what they do and see what they're about. And
Fritz thought he'd give it a try and see if we can get him in.
All right, Fritz, let's see if we can get Fritz on the line. Fritz, are you there?
Oh,
Fritz.
Nope, we
have no Fritz.
I'm from Canandaigua.
Thank you.
Fitz or Fritz? Thank you for trying. We'll keep working on it. It worked the first time.
Boss is coming.
Oh, excellent. He's going to find one button, you know.
No, he's just coming for the donuts.
That's right. He's coming for the donuts. I got good donuts today. I got nice donuts. But yeah, so I think that we're seeing, a sea change. Not with the older folks. And I know that a lot of our Soundbites listeners are slightly older folks. But I think particularly in the younger generation, you know, I see kids at the Saunders College, I see kids walk out of class and they've already got their phones in their hands.
Yeah.
And they're not talking on them. They're texting. They're either texting or on Facebook or on Twitter or one of those, but they're doing thumb typing. Thumb typing, yep. Of thumb thought. I don't know what exactly it is.
Suffering Thuckatash.
Suffering Thuckatash. I'm Mighty Thor. So is my horse.
I haven't heard that one before.
The end of it. Yeah, it's the end of a fairly long and clean. I hasten to tell you it's a clean joke. And of course, it was never the Mighty Thor. It was Thor the Mighty.
Yeah.
If you look at the original comic, it was Thor the Mighty.
So go along with Indians don't use saddles.
I don't know that I want to hear this joke.
That one I can't say on the air.
Particularly not over the air. Exactly. Thank you very much.
I was ready for the dump button.
Steve knows an amazing...
I want to try it one time.
Steve knows an amazing number of jokes. None of them are clean.
George Carlin
style.
I'm
about to say a dirty word so you can hit the dump button. Are you ready?
No.
Are you sure?
I can.
Mud. You don't think I'm actually going to swear on the air just in case the dumb button doesn't work?
Is it Stephen Colbert that does the gratuitous swearing where he clips news feeds from celebrities and politicians and beeps out words that aren't swear words?
Oh, nice.
But it sounds like swear words when he beeps them out.
Nice. I've been recording Craig Ferguson on my DVR because God knows I'm not staying up till 2 in the morning or whatever the heck it is when he's on. And so I... He does a lot of swearing. They beep him out, and they put an Italian flag over his face, and put something from yep. Chico Marx. Or they'll put a Mexican flag over his face and put a Mexican phrase in instead. It's very funny, actually.
Cool.
Have you seen his movie where he's a hairdresser?
No.
Oh, it is bad.
Yeah.
It's one of those where it's so bad it's funny.
Yeah, I have discovered. I have a Netflix, a Roku box, and I've been doing Netflix, but they also have a Kung Fu channel, which is free this month. Of course, I'm not home this month very much, so that's kind of useless to me. But I've found lots and lots of bad 60s martial arts films, which are my vice. And every once in a while, my wife will come in and see me watching. When she go, is it bad? I'll say, oh, yes, it is. She'll say, congratulations.
Now, are they dubbed or are they subtitled?
Yes, either, and sometimes both. Sometimes I was watching one that came from Thailand, and it was subtitled in Chinese. No, they were speaking apparently Chinese. Well, no, there were two sets of subtitles. It was in Thai, and there were two sets of subtitles.
Probably one, Mandarin and Cantonese.
Right. No, yeah. Mandarin or Cantonese in
yeah.
English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just went to see Karate Kid last week, and. Get a kick out of the kid turns the TV on and it's SpongeBob with the English song, and then they start speaking Chinese in the episode subtitled in different Chinese.
Right.
Of course, Matthew knew the episode.
Right. So he probably knew all the dialogues.
Yeah.
Good way to learn Chinese, really.
Yeah.
Either Mandarin or Cantonese. I don't know which. But yeah. So yeah, there's been all kinds of really odd news things going on this week, and it's been kind of a weird week. There hasn't been a lot. I mean, everything that's been out for they had the Black Hat Conference and things like that. All of it's been kind of bad. We're in that lull period, you know. We're coming up to the
holidays yeah.
season, right? To the selling season, which is a whole lot longer than the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
So we're coming up to the selling season, so everybody's kind of keeping it calm for a while they rev up their end-of-year holiday selling.
Halloween stuff's already coming out, isn't it?
Well, I certainly hope so. I'd hate to have to wait until, I don't know, September.
October, even.
No, nobody waits till October anymore.
I'm sorry. I still get a kick out, and it's played for a number of years, one ad on TV at the back school time, where you see the parent going up and down the aisles on the cart, and they're going, it's the most wonderful time of the year, and there's these kids just with their heads down.
Right, the back to school one.
Sulking.
Yeah.
They got to go back to school.
Yeah, that's very funny. But yeah, did you see? There's an iPad app for Playboy
that they censored.
There is no nudity in the iPad app for Playboy, which now you can say you read it for the articles.
That was the first thing.
Yeah.
The first thing that impressed Shirley, my future wife at the time, I brought a Playboy to one of our Star Trek meetings because it had a big interview with Patrick Stewart.
There you go.
I always have bought Playboy to read articles.
Yep.
Also.
My wife was doing a show. She's a costumer. And she was doing a show, and she needed to create some lingerie for the show. So she brought home a Playboy and a couple of others to look at the pictures, and I read the article. Also.
Mm-hmm.
I read a really good short by Robert Silverberg, too.
There's always been excellent fiction in there. Oh, here he comes. It's the lovely and talented Rob Linton.
Hail to the chief.
And look how happy he is to be here.
He loves us.
He loves this place, and he loves us. He and Dave are now going to be arguing about the phone system, and we're going to probably do that in just a minute. They're having fun.
It's almost time for the 1 o'clock break.
I know it. We'll be doing that in just a half a moment, and see what happens there. Rob does not look happy.
It's Saturday, and I'm at work. Would you be happy?
I'm always happy to be at work or to be here. Actually,
this side of the dirt.
Exactly. Just happy to be anywhere at this point in my life. All right, we are going to take a quick break. During that quick break, magic will happen here because Rob is here. And when we come back, we will have a whole lot more of your calls and a whole lot more news. And we may even
get them on the air.
Exactly, and a whole lot more other stuff. But in the meantime, we want you to listen to these bits of wisdom that will appear between now and our return. We'll be back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. We have Rob Linton in the house right now. Give us a call. It's 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. As we bring you a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known universe, we are Soundbites, right here on the great member supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting, as in Smokey Bear. We were about to head home after a bonfire, and Smokey said the fire wasn't actually out. He said if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
No kidding.
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
Kidding. Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
I love
love jazz, so I spend an outrageous amount of time listening to Jazz 90.1. It's my way to stay in the loop with the local jazz scene and the local musicians. And I love the specialty programs. They're programs that I cannot find anywhere else. With Jazz 90.1's Facebook and MySpace pages, I can listen in and stay tuned in with the local jazz scene from my computer and my phone, too. I jump in on the exclusive contests and chat up with people who believe in the music. You can, too. Visit jazz901.org and click on the icons to visit Jazz 90.1's Facebook and MySpace pages. That's how I take jazz further, with Jazz 90.1.
Gaining weight was easy. Losing it's a lot harder. I have to work at it every day. But with every step, I lower my risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. And that makes it...
Morning, Daddy!
...very much worth the effort.
Learn how you can help stop diabetes by losing weight, eating healthy, and staying active. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
Jazz 90.1 accepts vehicles. That's right. You can donate your unwanted vehicle to Jazz 90.1, have it picked up, and receive a tax deduction while we get cash to keep the jazz going strong on Jazz 90.1. If you would like to support Jazz 90.1 by donating your old vehicle, call 966-5299. That's 966-5299. Donating your old vehicle, another way to support Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. You know, smartphones are red hot, and the Android is on fire. Research firm Gartner said Thursday that smartphone sales are up some 50% year over year, with Android showing explosive growth and topping Apple in the quarter ending June 30th for the first time in the history of the company's survey. Gartner is only the latest in a line of outfits to confirm Android's stratospheric rise. Growth year over year is a stunning 850%. Let me repeat that. Android phones grew 850% in a year. Last year at this time, Android accounted for only 1.8% of the market. This year it's 17.2%, and that's enough to put it in third place overall. Symbian led with 41.2% share, followed by RIM with 18.2%, then 17.2% for Android, followed by iOS, not the Cisco version, in fourth place with a 14.2% share, 3% below Android. However, it was up just over a percentage point from the year previous. And for those of you who don't know, iOS is the name of the operating system in the iPhone, also the name of the operating system in the Cisco systems, but that's okay. And the wider global rollout of the iPhone 4 will probably sustain Apple's sales momentum through the second half of 2010. Obviously, it's Android's non-exclusive strategy that's really paying off for Google here. But we'll wait another quarter until we see whether this is a fluke or something realistic. Are you surprised by the numbers? Give us a call. It's 585-966-JAZZ. That's not 966-5299, or toll free at 1-800-790-0415, just like Jim may have done. Jim, are you there?
I'm here.
Yay! It's Rob Linton, ladies and gentlemen.
Well done, Rob.
Tearing the studio apart.
Now, go ahead, tell us how you did it. Hold on a second, Jim.
It's magic. I can't tell you.
Right, or you'd have to kill us.
You went behind the booth and plugged the wire in.
That's right. Well, no. It's kind of like what you guys always say, when all else fails, reboot. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of what we had to do here. So let's hear from Jim so I can make sure it works right, so I can go back home and enjoy my Saturday.
I am so sorry that you actually had to take time out of your Saturday, you whiny little... Hi, Jim.
At least he was listening.
Where are you calling from?
Nashville, New Hampshire.
Nashville, New Hampshire. And what can we do for you today?
Well, let's give you a little bit of information for people out there who want to order Linux.
Yeah.
There's two places you can go. One is ondisk.com. The other one is PCTech101.com. And I recommend PCTech101. It's about a dollar more for the stuff, but you also get free Linux books online that you can download. It's like if you order Ubuntu, you can go, if you get your password and your username, and you download them, and that'll help you out figure out what you're doing on your Linux.
That's an excellent suggestion, Jim. You know, a lot of people know that they can get this stuff free from the operating system, from the operating system's website, like Ubuntu.com or PCMintOS.com or any PCLinuxOS.com or any of those. But you're right. If you're new to it and you want some sort of fallback, you know, books, whatever, whatever, then a place like PCTech101 or OnDisk.com are actually very good places to get the products. An excellent point, Jim. Thanks.
How do you spell OnDisk?
My price for my OpenSUSE 11.3 DVD was only $6.99.
Right. Right. And for people who normally pay a couple hundred bucks for an operating system, that ain't bad.
Yeah. It's cheaper than Windows.
You aren't kidding. Thanks a lot, Jim. It's an excellent point. Thank you very much.
There it is.
All right.
It's on -disk.com.
Yeah. Sorry.
And they spell disk wrong. They spell it with a K.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Disk with a K is magnetic, with a C is optical.
Right. Thank you for that, Dr. Pedantic. All right. The phones are clearly working again. So please, if those of you who gave us a call and were lost in the land of Bell, please call us back. The number is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
I had to drop a few people when I was testing the phone, so if you're on hold, give us a call back. We'll put you through. Sorry about that. Actually, I'm going to blame that on Dave. You know what I mean?
Absolutely,
you know
I
what
would.
I'm saying? I had to deal for years with people blaming the producer, and I'm not the producer anymore, so I'm going to blame Dave. It was Rob's fault.
And you know what? I'd like to clear the air right now. It always was Rob's fault.
Yes. So, I've been meaning to ask you, have you sent your daughter off to college yet?
This week.
Oh, boy.
This week we go. It's the long drive. 13 and a half hours.
You and Elaine are going to be a mess.
Yeah.
They're going to be dancing in the streets.
Naked. Back here in Rochester,
probably. I tell my daughter that all the time. She says, what are you going to do when I'm gone? I said, we're going to dance naked in the living room. She says, Dad, I don't talk about that. It's not right.
How fast is her room going to turn into whatever?
I keep telling her she has to have a room clean before she goes because we can't rent it out the way it is.
Well, you know what's funny? Have you guys had to spend like a ton of money on stuff that she's going to need?
No, 2 tons.
2 tons, yeah.
Yeah.
There was a story in the Grease Post last week, actually yesterday, about how much money parents have to spend. I mean, elementary schools.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at least $100, if not $200 of supplies alone, not counting school clothes.
My wife is obsessed because she hasn't got the list from our school yet.
Yeah.
So what? This is what, 3-4 weeks? No, she's afraid the sales are going to run out before she gets her list.
Well, my daughter...
Pencils, notepads, you know.
She's got one art history book that clearly comes with the professor. Who must follow her from class to class. I can't imagine otherwise why it's so frickin' expensive.
It's bad.
It's just ridiculous.
And I think that the schools work in cooperation with the stores because, as Steve said, just as the lists come out, miraculously the sales end. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
And everyone runs out and has to pay full price on all the supplies you know, all that kind of, it's crazy.
Well, and my daughter had last week, it was a week before she had to leave, so she had a full-blown panic attack. Oh, my God, Dad, I don't think I have everything. I don't know if I'm ready. I finally calmed down. I said, you know, honey, I don't know if you know this, but they actually have stores in Illinois.
Right.
It'll be okay. They have, you know, Target, and they have Kmart, and they have other stores that, you know, they don't have. She's really kind of upset they don't have Wegmans.
Well, now, have you given her a credit card yet?
Yes.
Oh,
no,
boy.
I haven't given her a credit card. let's be a little more careful than that, shall we?
Well, a credit card to use, quote unquote, while she's at school.
Yeah, there is a credit card that I will keep filled for specific purposes.
Wait till the specific purposes include
booze.
Yeah exactly.
One of the things we found out when Jackie's son went to college for the first time, they get to the school and they find all this stuff that he needed, you know, an Ethernet cable, because the jack's on the other side of the room and you know, it's like $50 for an Ethernet cable.
Oh, yeah.
So we put together at our store a education package, and we've got an Ethernet cable, we've got a power strip, we've got all these little things that cost a fortune at the school bookstore.
Right.
And you're going to need them.
And you need a Kensington lock.
Yep. Well, the big question is a key lock, so you can lose the key. Right. Or a combination lock to forget the combination. But at least you can write the combination down somewhere and leave it with mom and call.
Right. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Now, the campus that she's going to is wireless, so she'll have access everywhere for her iPod Touch. So I've dodged the bullet of I have to have an Android phone. So she'll be able to do what Dave does. Basically, she's getting the $10 a month phone because that's the best.
But are you activating a phone in her dorm, though? That's the question.
No.
See, I was going to say.
Some of these kids have cable TV in their dorms now. Yeah.
They've got basic cable. They've got basic cable, which is fine. It gives you, the weather and the news. Like, she'll care one way or the other.
Right.
Well, she will in the dead of winter in Illinois. I'll tell you that right now. She'll care about the weather, certainly. So it's going to be – it's huge. It's huge. We're already planning – we've talked with her roommate. She knows who her roommate is going to be, and we figured, there's got to be a refrigerator and a television and a this and a that. And so we're buying our half of that there so we don't have to haul it back and forth. Right. And then and that'll be good. So.
See, when I went to college, I ended up bringing the stereo, and my roommate brought the TV. And that's all we had. And second semester, we switched sides of the dorm because the antenna worked better on the television.
When I went to college, luckily we were right next to a rock quarry, so I could get all the tablets I needed to take notes. I had to bring my own chisel.
Did you ever slide down the dinosaur?
Always. The tough part was the ones that had the ridges down the back. That was, some of us enjoyed that more than others, actually. That was kind of good. Do give us a call. The phones are now working, and Rob is eagerly awaiting a call. Another test case. The number is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free at 1-800-790-0415.
I would say Dar was one of our callers, and also Jim. So
Dar and Jim, give us a call. No, we got Jim. We talked to Jim, but it was Dar and somebody. You took the page back.
Yeah.
But Dar, give us a call.
Fritz from Canandaigua.
Fitz or Fritz, one of the two. We'll be happy to get you on and talk to you now that Rob is here. That number again, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. But in the meantime, while you're contemplating where you've left your phone and getting ready to dial, we'll take a short break and be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Tickets for the 4th annual Jazz 90.1 Evening of Wine and Jazz, presented by Greece Community Broadcasting Incorporated, go on sale August 16th. For more information, visit our website at www.jazz901.org.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Frontier Communications. Frontier Communications offers high-speed internet with the reliability and support you've come to expect from Frontier. For more information, you can visit www.frontiernet.net.
Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members and Agape Physical Therapy. Agape Physical Therapy offers aquatic therapy at their Brockport location, the Gates Chile Hidden Valley Pool, and the Webster Aquatic Center. Using the Brudenco method of using water as physical therapy, Agape provides shallow and deep water exercise areas for partial and non-weight-bearing activities. Agape Physical Therapy's experienced staff offers constant care in treating the young at heart, non-athletes and athletes. For more information about Agape Physical Therapy, you may call 637-0790 or visit agapephysicaltherapy.com.
Do you feel like some live jazz tonight? Then listen for the Club Calendar with Joel Van Buren. Every day at 9:40 a.m., 2:40, 5:40, and 7:40 p.m., Joel tells you who's playing jazz and blues that night and where. You'll always know where the jazz is when you check out the Club Calendar with Joel Van Buren. 4 times daily on Jazz 90.1 and online at jazz901.org.
Hi, this is Sid O'Connor. Join me Sunday mornings from 7 until noon right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
Oh, I have to go now. I'm Rob Linton.
Dave is next. Dave doesn't have a mic. I'm Steve Ray.
Suddenly, now wait a minute. Now hold on just a second. Rob comes into the studio and you're on vacation? What the hell is that?
You like that?
No!
See, it's called control of the board.
No, that doesn't...
That's the ultimate power.
That doesn't mean you're not here at all. It means you grab a different mic and talk like the rest of us.
Why?
Because you used to do that and you used to be all right at it. And now we're asking you to be all right at it again. All right, well, listen.
Thank you.
The heck with all you. We're going back to the phones. And we have Dar from Toronto, Ontario, Canada on the line. Welcome, Dar. How are you?
How do we, gents?
We're good.
That works.
Okay, you were talking about security.
Yes.
Well, now they got us coming and going. It's in our tires, in the wheel assemblies of our cars and trucks.
Really?
Yeah, the TPMS sensor.
Yeah, I've got that in my car. It's supposed to tell you when your pressure's low, but they can track other things too?
Yep.
Interesting.
Got it.
There have been a couple of cases that they were talking about it on the Security Now podcast about aftermarket hacks to the computers in your car. And there's so many computers in your car now, and they're all designed for cars and without really security in mind, and they can be hacked. There are remote shutdown commands the police are able to use to stop chases.
Now,
guys are getting a hold of them now too.
Well, I was reading about at the Black Hat conference where they killed a car's computer on the fly.
Yep.
Hacked into it and killed it on the fly. The computer, of course, just rolled to a stop. What sorts of things are in the TTMS sensor, Dar? Do you know yet?
We'll send you to the link, tinyurl.com, 32 big F K N as a number G.
And are all of those lowercase?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's from a tech site for mechanics.
Really? How cool is that? As long as there's a computer in there, they can have that computer do a million different things, and we never think about it.
I think I typed that URL wrong.
Yeah, I think you did too. The reality is,
you blushing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you Rickroll us? Is that what that's about? Is it 32 B I G F K N G?
32 big F.
Oh, I put a big F in. A capital F.
No, 32 B I G.
No, B F as in.
Big F and gun.
Big F effing king. So B F K N G.
Oh, B F K N G. There we go.
Yeah, Auto Care Pro News, yeah.
There we go. That's a little better.
And the second thing you were talking about, the cost of textbooks.
Yeah.
This was about a year ago. Some universities are completely eliminating them, realizing the high cost. And what they're doing is that all the books are online. And your course, you download the book onto your machine.
Yeah. There are some colleges that are handing out iPads. That they used to hand out iPods. Now they're doing iPads.
And Kindles and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
What's really interesting is that Barnes & Noble has a product called Nook Study, N-O-O-K Study. And, you know, they have the Nook Reader. Nook Study is a program for Windows and the Mac. And you install it on your machine and you can download... Well, any book you want, you can buy, but you can also download your textbooks to it. You buy your textbook, and then it's just on your laptop or your notebook or whatever it is you have. And what's really nice about it is they've tailored it for schools. So you can take notes, you can bookmark things, you can mark something as I want to ask a question about it and type in the question so you remember it. You can trade notes with people, you can... Your professors can give you PDFs and PowerPoint and all kinds of stuff, and it's a really well thought out product. I'm on their faculty advisory board, so I can't say enough good things about it because some of the suggestions came from me. But that's the kind of thing that's being done all over. You're absolutely right, Dar. A lot of places now, instead of carrying around 150 pounds of books. You can carry around your netbook or your pad device or, whatever you want and do all your studying that way. It's a really clever idea whose time has come, clearly.
It hasn't come because there's no Linux OS.
Well, yeah, that is true, Dar. Dar is
time.
One of our Linux
friends.
That's
just a matter of time.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time, yeah, but you're right. You're right. And as soon as that's available for Linux, we'll have it all. But right now, if you are a Mac or a Windows user, Nook Study works really, really nicely, actually. All right, excellent.
Cheers.
Thanks for the tip on the TTMS sensor. We'll be looking into that for sure.
TTMS.
Thanks. What did I say?
TT, tire pressure monitoring system.
Yeah, what did I say?
TT.
Oh, I did, and I wrote down TT as well.
Yeah, apparently, I kind of wondered that. How did they get a wire from the tire, the spinning tire, through the axle up to the sensor? It's not a wire. It's a wireless sensor in your tire, and apparently has a range of about 130 feet.
Nice.
So what's that, Bluetooth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, yeah, Bluetooth is essentially the personal networks.
Yeah.
You know, they call them, you know, there's the local area network and the wide area. This is the personal area network.
Yeah.
The PAN. All right, our next caller, Julie from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Julie. What's your question?
Hi. I use a book service. It's called Audible.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm new to it, and I'm wanting to find out if there's a way to convert the Audible files into actual CDs that I can just play on a standard CD player.
You can, but the problem is length. A standard CD is limited to about an hour of audio.
Yeah.
And audiobooks are often much, much, much longer than that. So you need to use an audio editing tool like Audacity, which is a free audio editor, and break the files up into one-hour chunks so you can burn them to a disk.
Do I need to convert that Audible file to a WAV file to do that? Or
no, it's a standard MP3 file.
Oh.
Is it because it used to not be?
Yeah, they're not. They're AA.
Oh, they're AACs?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's also a standard file. That's the Advanced Audio Codec from Dolby. But the two steps. First, you have to break them up into one-hour chunks, and second, you have to convert them to an AIF, which your CD burning software will do.
Like Nero, or?
Right.
Okay.
Now, if you have a new enough audio CD player, it may be able to play something called an MP3 CD.
Yeah, I've got those too.
Okay. So then you can use iTunes or whatever your media player is to burn them as MP3s,
right,
on an audio CD.
I just wanted to be able to take it, like, and I know it would make it longer that way where there'd be more to carry around, but then I wouldn't be tied to a computer either, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That I could play it somewhere in the house other than where the computer is.
Right.
No, well,
and a lot
true.
Of portable MP3 players work great for that, too.
Yeah. Right. One of the things that Audible lets you do is, particularly if you buy through, if you have an iPod-type device, whether it's a pod or a pad or a poop and tutor or whatever the heck it is, you can download it through iTunes and then put it right on your MP3 player.
Do you use iTunes as your media player?
You know what? I got to be honest. I've never actually used it before.
Okay. Because I found an article from Apple on how to convert an audio content into CDs using iTunes.
Oh, okay. I'll dig around and see if I can find it. Most
media players, most media converters, and Audacity, an audio editor, that will let you convert it to other formats, and you can break it down into one-hour chunks for an audio CD, or leave it as an MP3 CD for if you have an MP3 CD player.
Right, which I do. I just wondered if there was some way to, like if it was a DRM file that I was going to have to, you know, I'm not sure if Audacity would open that or not.
Yeah, Audacity does have DRM in it.
Okay.
There is no question of that, but I believe that you can, if you, for example, like I said, if you download it through iTunes, you can definitely move it over to your MP3 player.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks.
All right.
All right, y'all. Take it easy.
Thanks.
Thank
you. You too. And good luck with that. I do that too. I listen to books on tape. Books on tape. Yeah, I'm old. MP3 books all the time.
Yeah, it's just...
It is an MP3 file, but it has an extension of .aa, which is an audible audio file. So it's an MP. It is an MP3 wrapper or an MP3 file wrapped in the audible DRM.
Right. So in order to play it on an MP3 player.
Virtually all MP3 players support the audible format
and then you should
directly,
be right.
Yeah. But burning it to an audio CD will be a little tricky because of the
DRM.
The DRM. But I haven't tried it in iTunes because a couple of months ago they offered Ringworld by Larry Niven for free, and it even then it came in two parts, and each part is 6 hours long. So it's 12 hours of audio, so that would take 12 CDs. And that's, if you remember books on tape, that came in this giant binder, and you had 12, 14, 20 mm-hmm. audio tapes mm-hmm. At an hour
each.
We
have all the Harry Potters.
And those are really long books.
Jim Dale is a good reader, but he's not a fast reader, yep. And that's good. You want to, you know, get it all.
Yeah. Apparently it's Stephen Fry in the British versions.
Yeah, it is.
And you can't get them in America.
Well, especially for the Harry Potter, because you've got to take in all, you know, what he's trying to describe.
Right.
You know, that's a lot to process.
And then my daughter and I are very into Doctor Who, and you can buy a bunch of Doctor Who adventures on audio tape in there. And they're pretty cool.
I'm still old-fashioned. I still like the books.
I love books, but when I'm in the car, when I'm traveling...
I'm glad you're not reading them.
Exactly. So then I've got them in the... either as MP3 CDs, which I can play in my car, or as they're stuck on my
Android. It's bad enough
Android.
Now with folks on the phone and texting. I mean, I had another...
Oh, I had some guy in front of me a couple of days ago on the phone, and then he hung up, and I pulled back a little bit, and I saw him start to text, and I pulled back more, and didn't he run over the curb?
Yeah.
And get back on the road, but he was wobbling a little. I think he did some damage to his tire. But I had pulled back far enough that I was not involved in any of that. Thank you so very much. Glad to not be involved in that.
I just tried in iTunes. I started the burn process from an Audible disc, and I'm not getting any DRM errors. It just says insert blank disc. So apparently iTunes takes care of it for you. Windows Media Player might also, or some of the other media players.
Right. All right, our next caller is Jason, calling from Webster, New York. How are you, Jason?
I'm fine. How are you guys doing?
Peachy, thanks. What's your question?
Dave has mentioned many times that if a computer comes into his shop with child porn on it, he'll call the police, and rightly so. Mm-hmm. But what is to prevent the person from saying, I have no idea what you're talking about, Dave must have put it on? I'll hang up and listen for the answer.
All right. Well,
nothing, and that's why God made lawyers, frankly.
And exactly. Oops. Well, sorry about that. There is nothing to say that, it couldn't happen. But the thing of it is usually those files are time-stamped. So, from when that file was actually put down on that computer versus when it got into my shop is when we can, through the history and all that type of stuff, you can do a backtrack and see when that hit the machine. So they can literally, through the forensics, because, folks, I'll tell you, there is stuff out there. You think you erase things and you scrub it and you do all this stuff. You live in fantasy land if you think that they can't get it back. They can tell you more stuff that can go on that hard drive with the toys that they have. I've seen their labs, and the stuff that they have would make your eyes just bug out from the way they can find out stuff. So yeah. I will, and I have already done it, five times now, turns people in for child porn, and I'll do it again, even if it's a family member. I don't care. I have zero tolerance. I don't go looking for it in every computer. And the worst thing you can do when you come into my shop is say, don't look at the pictures.
Right.
And I've had clients do that. Oh, please don't look at my pictures. Well, you know what? Now I have to. And
by law.
And when your symptom is my photo management program isn't working.
Yeah. Well, no. But don't look at my pictures.
No. The whole thing of it is now you've put the burden of proof on me because now you say don't look at my pictures. If there is any porn on there and I let it go out of my shop.
You're liable.
I am liable because they could sit there and say, well, it was just over at Enright's and Enright and Deary's and they didn't do anything about it. I'm going to jail just as fast as them are. So I'm going to look for it. I don't inspect every computer. I've got too much other stuff to do that I don't, if you bring your system in, I'm not going to look for it unless it's very obvious. And we've had a few that were.
Right.
So, there are ways to tell in answer to your question there, Jason, of when that actually hit the computer so I could in court prove that, it was on there before it even came.
there actually was a case I just read about in the last week or so, similar to that. A guy had child porn on his computer, and he swore it wasn't his. And they found out that it wasn't his. It was someone else using his computer, and he was able to backtrack it that way.
I actually was.
But for that time, he lost all his computers, and there was the stigma attached
well,
to him.
Well, that's right. Also in lock, where we've preached, you know, locking down your computer. Because if you've got it wide open.
Yeah, put a password on it. Put a password on your screensaver.
And somebody is sitting out in your driveway.
Yep.
You know, they can sit down there and download stuff, and oh, guess what? You're going to get blamed.
Yep. I actually was the expert witness in a case, in several cases, but in this one case, I said, "Look, this—it's clear that you can tell when it was downloaded, mm-hmm. and we know for a fact this guy was out of town during that time. So the chances that it was him, and we can backtrack and say he didn't log into his machine from somewhere else, and yada yada yada. So clearly, it was indeed in this case someone else, and there was only one other person living there at the time. So." Pretty well we know what that story was, but
yeah.
The reality is that had that not been available, had I not been the expert witness and known to look for, because this was long ago, before the police really got good at this, you know?
Well, I was called in one, too, and they were trying to say, oh, no, it came through an email, and it was attachments. Well, here's the real story, folks. Child porn folks do not send out emails. You have to go looking for them. They will not send you spam and all this other email stuff and have attachments and all that. They want to be as quiet and into the mist as they can be.
They don't want to get caught.
Exactly. And they're a whole society that it's very, secretive, and they don't go blasting, spamming you, come and check this out. No, they don't want that notoriety.
Right.
And this one person was like, oh, no, it didn't.
No,
it didn't. You had to go look at it.
And the police know that, and the lawyers know that, and everybody knows that.
Well, we wound up pulling the history, and, oh, yeah, what was this website? How'd you find it? Where'd that come from? Right off your history. Hello?
Yeah.
And
you can't erase that stuff.
Mm-mm.
That's the simple reality. You cannot erase that stuff.
It is there, and they will nail you.
There are forensic tools that will let you unerase a forensically erased hard drive.
Right.
Yeah.
The Google Chrome browser has that stealth mode now. Yeah, that doesn't.
Actually, that was an article in the last week or so. Most browsers have a private mode that has been nicknamed porn mode.
Yeah.
It isn't really all that private.
No,
so
it
if
really
someone
isn't.
Looks hard enough, they can get back into it.
The only way that I've been really to destroy a hard drive is I've got this 20-pound sludge.
I was just about to say. It's a sledgehammer.
But, now you see on the CSI TV show, one guy took a sliver of a CD that had been destroyed like that and was able to read enough data on it to find the bad guy. Of course, that was a TV show.
Yeah. Right.
But they got their inspiration from somewhere.
You can do that. So really the best bet is to melt it down.
Shredders.
Well, I sit
little
there.
Go find where they just dropped
Superman.
The latest Terminator and drop it in that vat.
Remember Superman put together the shredded paper?
Well,
actually,
I remember
Clark
that episode.
That.
Yeah. I remember that episode from the George Reeves TV series. What a great show that was! But the reality is that if you want to destroy a hard drive, from the average person, there are programs, Kill Disk and things like that, that will work for the average person.
Boot and Nuke.
But when you've got Boot and Nuke is an excellent one. But when you've got people who can use a program like Case or any of the of that ilk, that's not really going to do the job.
There was an interesting case they were talking about on Security Now. Really great podcast, grc.com/securitynow, for computer security, and they just finished a really interesting fundamentals of computers, where he started with a transistor and a flip-flop and designed a computer. They were talking about a case where the FBI had raided a drug lord and confiscated his computers. And the drug lord was using TrueCrypt for whole drive encryption and wouldn't give up his password. So the FBI worked on it for a year, gave it to the NSA, who worked on it for a year, who gave it to TrueCrypt, and TrueCrypt said, no, there is no backdoor. You can't break into it. So they had their best supercomputers working for a year trying to break this encryption and haven't been able to yet.
So, you can encrypt it, but...
Yeah. Like I say, we have fun with it out in the back, put it on this cinder block, and just whack it, and all of a sudden you just hear it like a maraca.
Yep.
All these shards and all that. Sometimes I can even get lucky enough to pop the top on it, so then I can take it over to the dumpster and shake all the parts out.
We used to drill holes with a drill press through the drive.
Yep.
You know, 15, 20, 30 holes.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you're in pretty good shape there as far as that goes. Yeah. But you got to be very, very diligent if you're really going to get rid of your data. Well, there have been times when I've put a computer out to the curb. Although I don't do that anymore. I give them to ACD or one of the other companies that refurbishes them and gives them to needy kids. But in the few times that I have put a computer out on the curb, I never put the hard drive out.
I got a guy, after we take the hard drives out, he takes the rest of the stuff and breaks it all down and recycles it, which is great. I mean, you know, we just...
Well, but companies like ACD that...
Regional Computer Recycling and Recovery.
Right. There's a couple of places that do that. What these people do is they take the computer and either refurbish it and put it in a community center.
Well, see, mine are totally...
Or they teach kids to refurbish them, and that kid gets to take it home.
Here's industrial strength hard drive shredder for $40,000.
Yeah, I've seen those, too. You drop it in, you get nothing but dust on the other end. It's very... That's actually very cool.
Or
actually,
a basic one for only $1,000.
Only $1,000? Why, that's cheap at half the price.
Does it blend? We should give it to the Does It Blend
does
guy.
Does it blend? Absolutely. That's only, a couple of $100 for that blender.
Yeah.
All you need is one that'll fit the hard drive. The jar or whatever.
Yeah,
it's the
size of the hard drive. Yeah, when he was doing the iPad, he had to cheat and bend the iPad in half to make it fit in.
Right. All right, yeah, there is a website, and I don't know if it's a website called doesitblend.com.
Yeah, I think it is.
It's this guy who puts things in there. It's actually an ad for a super good blender, and it's a brilliant series of things. He takes things and tries to blend them. I think he failed at the crowbar, and there was one other thing he failed at.
Well, the company makes big industrial shredders that it's willitblend.com.
Willitblend,
they make big industrial shredders you can throw a car into. And they've got some cute video on their website about the guy drove his Volkswagen Beetle up and parked in the president's spot, and the president came out, oh, I can't do anything, I'm parking my spot, and they threw it in the shredder. And
Yeah. But you should check it out because they take cell phones and toys, and they did last year at the Super Bowl, they took two footballs and marked them with the team names and put them in and see which one blended better. And it was just, they're actually having a lot of fun. Willitblend.com. Steve will put that on the website in just a minute. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. If you're on the line, please stay on the line since Rob Litton got the phones working. If you're not on the line, I don't know why not. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 apparel is available online. Whether it's a long or short sleeve t-shirt, half zip fleece, hooded sweatshirt, or baseball cap that you're looking for, you'll find it at the Jazz 90.1 online store at jazz901.org.
Tickets for the 4th annual Jazz 90.1 Evening of Wine and Jazz, presented by Greece Community Broadcasting Incorporated, go on sale August 16th. For more information, visit our website at www.jazz901.org.
This is station manager Rob Linton. If you're a local jazz musician, Jazz 90.1 wants to hear from you. You and your band could be featured as part of our 2010-2011 live studio concert series. We'll tell you how you could perform for local listeners on the radio as well as internet worldwide, and we'll also promote your concert for listeners and give you your very own copy of the concert. If you're interested in performing live jazz on the radio and internet, visit the Jazz 90.1 website at www.jazz90.1.org. 901.org for more information on how to apply. The Rochester area has been home to great jazz musicians, and it still is. Let everybody hear how great you are, live on the radio from the studios of Jazz 90.1. Hurry, slots are filling up fast. For more information, including how to apply, visit jazz901.org. This is Station Manager Rob Linton. Do you have a comment or suggestion for Jazz 90.1? Call our feedback phone today at 966-2407. That's 966-2407. Be heard at Jazz 90.1.
Gaining weight was easy. Losing it's a lot harder. I have to work at it every day. But with every step, I lower my risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. And that makes it...
Morning, Daddy!
...very much worth the effort.
Learn how you can help stop diabetes by losing weight, eating healthy, and staying active. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
Hi, this is Eric Gruner. Please join me weekdays from 3 till 6 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And I also want to remind you folks that starting on Monday, the tickets go on sale for the 4th Annual Evening of Wine and Jazz 2010. This event is a gala fundraiser to benefit Jazz 90.1 GMC-FM. The event takes place Thursday, September 16th from 6:30 to 9:30 at the Waterside Room at Pier 45. If you haven't been down there, folks, they've really done it up really nice, and this is a great event. There's all kinds of food. There's going to be bands, silent auctions, and just a great time. So get your tickets early and come on down.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. We have Ed from Henrietta on the phone. Welcome, Ed. What's your question?
Hey, good morning, guys. I just wondered, this maybe is just self-fulfilling, but I was curious. I got on my email the other day of Yahoo, and I got a bunch of dialer demons I was reading, so I looked at it, and what apparently had happened, something or someone got into my contact list and sent the same message out, and I got an email back, said, geez, we're finally glad you got a computer now. Maybe you can, you know, write to us more often. And the content was that was sent out was, I'm so happy with my new Apple computer, I can contact you a lot more. What it did was it sent that out to everybody in my contact list, and then it erased my contact list. So I called Yahoo in New York City, and some guy that I could, you know, kind of barely understand said, yes, they were dealing with an internet-wide virus. He said, to change your password. So my question is, I did do that. Do you think that would help?
That will help. The point is this. When you have an online mail system, whether it's Yahoo or MSN or Hotmail or Gmail or any one of those, they're managed. The security is managed by the company, right? So it would be Yahoo or Microsoft or Google or whoever. And if they get it wrong, as Yahoo certainly did in this case, they allow people to get at your password in some way. And the way you re-protect your system is to change your password so that they would have to go through the same machinations again to get it again. The hope is that Google has closed that hole before you could they could do that. So anytime you suspect, it is not a horribly bad idea to, when you're on one of those types of services, to change your password regularly anyway. But you should definitely, when something like that happens, immediately change your password.
And
you know, we talk a lot. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, and also change your security hints. There have been a lot of cases, especially with celebrities. You go to these websites and you click the forgot your password, and the security question you put in is, you know, where'd I meet my wife or where'd I go to school? Well, with a little bit of work and Google, people can find that stuff out and then get your password without guessing it directly.
Or you can do what I do, which is you pick a question and answer a different question. So, for example, what was the name of my first dog? Henrietta, New York. Right?
Yep.
I didn't think of that. Yeah.
Go ahead, guess that. In addition, remember, we're always telling people if you want your password to be really secure, the best way to do it is to pick one that isn't a word with numbers in it, any of that nonsense. And the way we tell people to do that and make it still easy to remember is to pick a favorite quotation or a favorite line from a story or a line from a poem. Take the first letter of each word, and for the vowels, you know, make an A a 4, an I a 1, an S a dollar sign, things like that. But in you know, to make it not necessarily a word. And password, you know, not just words, Happy 34 Monkey, which is the one we also used to tell people, because that actually was secure back in the day. But make sure that you do that, and the longer the better. A 14-character password, don't get me started, a 14-character password is nowadays not secure anymore. So you need to have a password that's longer than 14 characters.
But I'm concerned when you just said that, because I was on the web our company website, and I forgot my password. So they want you to log in with your SSN, your social, and I didn't. So I just did that, and it was, of course, supposedly, you know, nobody could see it. But I just wondered if that's hopefully the website's secure for the company.
Well, according to the United States government, it's illegal to use a Social Security number as your identification in any way, shape, or form, since a Social Security number is not a secure number.
Right.
Yeah. In fact, it's not even, you know, for example, your credit card number. There's a formula that generates that credit card number, so it can be checked to say, is there, you know, is this a legitimate credit card number? There is no formula for Social Security numbers, except that you don't use zeros for the middle two, or you don't use 99 for the first three, I think it is. But other than that, you know, it's pretty much any number works.
And you'd have to have an infinite number of passwords for different accounts. I mean, if they break one, they could assume that.
Well, and that's exactly right.
Yeah,
that's exactly
and there are right. There are password management programs like LastPass and RoboForm that will help you generate
KeyPass.
They help you generate incomprehensible passwords that are all saved under a single master password that you hopefully won't forget.
Oh, what's the name of that ePass you said?
LastPass is one. It works on Mac, Linux, Windows, smartphones, pretty much every operating system.
So does one called KeyPass, K-E-E Pass.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Try that. Yeah, because some of them you just have to carry in your wallet. You know?
Yeah.
And if you lose your wallet, you're out of luck.
And when you're logging into a secure website, you know, when you're typing your username and password, you want to make sure you're on a secure website. So that the URL should be HTTPS something something something.
Well, that little icon of that.
And the little padlock icon should show up. Yeah,
that should show up, right?
So you want to check both of those things, right? Yeah, if there's no padlock, it's unsecure, and anyone along the internet could potentially see what you're typing.
Wow. Okay, guys, thanks a lot.
Thank you. All right, we've. That's important stuff. It's getting to the point now where you have to be more and more careful, particularly if you're in like a coffee shop and it's wide open access. If you're going to put your password into something, make sure that your board says your the place where the URL is says https://, and that little locked padlock is there. All right, our next caller is Chris from Williamson, New York. Welcome, Chris. What's your question?
Oh, I've got a good one for you today.
Oh, boy.
Well, I got an HP Pavilion here running Windows XP. Well, the computer will not allow you to navigate away from the original page when you open up a website, either in Internet Explorer or Firefox, or when you try to, on a regular screen, you know, you cannot open any of the shortcuts unless you right-click.
What is your main page?
Okay, what happens, it comes up on Roadrunner when you're on Internet, you know, on Internet Explorer. Now, if you try to, navigate away from Roadrunner, it'll allow you to open up a page, but then in about, 15 seconds, it'll go right back to Roadrunner.
He's been hijacked.
It's been hijacked.
It sounds like it, yeah. You can't type a new address, it jumps back to the original?
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah.
You need to dance the security tango. Now, the problem is you can't from your machine. So what you need to do is go to another machine, someone else's machine, and download all the, you know, go to the Security Tango site at securitytango.com, click the Let's Dance button. I'm assuming you're running Windows, so select Windows Waltz. Print that page out and then download all the software it tells you to, burn that to a CD, take it back to your machine, and then follow along step by step, and everywhere it tells you to install something, install it from that CD. And that should clean your system out. Now, if it doesn't, then you're going to have to take it to somebody like Dave or Steve. They'll pull the drive out of the computer itself and clean it on another system, because if they do it that way, then that hard drive doesn't boot, and the viruses that are on it can't take control of the system and protect themselves.
Yeah, the catch is, of course, this machine here happens to not be mine. It's a friend's machine, and it's all screwed up, and, of course, he's a senior and, doesn't know exactly how to do it, and it's a laptop, so I just can't grab that hard drive out of it.
Right. Well, guys like Dave and Steve can. They have the right tools and the right connectors.
Yeah, you just bring the box in.
Just bring the laptop to them, and they can do it for you.
Okay, I guess that would be the best bet, because it sounds like it's infected, then,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh, yeah.
You got it.
Yeah, I know. I ran SpyBot on it, and it took out a few, about 40-some-odd tracking cookies, and two, what it said, hacking software.
Yep. But you clearly didn't get everything, and that's true for a lot of systems nowadays. Unfortunately, there are some viruses that you just cannot get rid of unless you do it with the pull-the-hard-drive method. That's the only way you're ever going to get rid of those. And I hate to say it, but it's true. In addition, once that's all done, I know that Dave or Steve can help you put antivirus software and anti-spyware software and all that other stuff on there, mm-hmm. so that it's protected from now on. And there are a number of good ones that they know about that are free, as well as the four pay ones. And as always, of course, I recommend that if you do get a free one, you still donate to the manufacturers, because that will encourage them to continue to make excellent software free for the public.
Okay, well, that answers the question, then, that this one here has been hacked, and heaven knows what it's being used for, right?
Exactly right, and you really shouldn't put it on the Internet anymore until it gets fixed.
Okay, thanks a lot, gentlemen.
Absolutely my pleasure. Thank you. It really becomes an interesting problem, you know, when you get the ones that are like that are just incapable of doing that, and you have cleaning without taking the drive out, and
sometimes even that's tough, because they've screwed up the registry so bad that sometimes it can't be fixed, and you end up reinstalling Windows.
Well, yeah, right, and exactly. And that was my point. Is sometimes you get to the point where you say, you know what, it still didn't help.
Yep.
It still didn't help. The registry, as we continue to say, is a very delicate little piece of software, a little file in a Windows system, and screwing it up is easy, particularly if the program writer is at all sloppy. And let's face it, virus writers don't tend to be the most clean cut of programmers to begin with. So you find a lot of times that there's a real error in the software that kills your machine outside of the virus problem itself. You know, how many times have we heard of viruses that took over a machine and then screwed it up so badly it couldn't even get off the machine anymore? You know, so we see that sort of thing happen.
Although most of them try not to do that, because they want to accomplish whatever they're accomplishing. It's when you get so many of them installed that they're fighting each other.
Right, and that's a real problem as well. All right. It appears that you have wasted another 2 solid hours of your life listening to us. I have no idea what you were thinking, but we're delighted that you were, or weren't, as the case may be. So thank you very much for attending to us for another Saturday afternoon. We want to thank everyone who called in, particularly after Rob Linton fixed the board. He was almost down to percussive maintenance, but he did the reboot first, and that fixed it.
He did good.
So I want to thank you for Dave Enright, for Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. We will be back here next week, and I know that you'll be listening either live or via the podcast or through the Ustream or through the IRC chat or whatever you're doing, to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. We'll see you next week.